So, just to go back on what we were saying earlier there, that these are talking about seasons and what we're thinking and what we're feeling at the minute as to what we've learned from already. And we were speaking there about John 21, where Jesus is telling the disciples to go catch the fish again after being out all night with nothing. But then they cast and they got the 153. And how we felt that that was a significant date in 2015, the 15th of the 3rd, relative to the number of fish that was caught, where the Lord was seeming to be saying that he was drawing a line in the sand almost to say that from now on that people were going to hear about Jesus easier, find him online, but not only that, that there'll be an ease in people sharing their faith and people's acceptability, because we all know that we've had seasons where you walk up to someone and they don't want to know about God. They don't want you to talk to them about God. And I felt that this was a significant change where things would start to shift in that area. When you look at some of the things that have happened since then, the turning kicked off a few months after that in Reading, UK, and thousands were seen to come into the kingdom. So there was that shift that took place, and I believe that's still ongoing. And then we roll on through to 2018, when the Lord was speaking to us very clearly as family about the bell, about that sound that gets released into a nation when the bell is rung out. And even in France, we took it to France and we played it in France as well, and we spoke this message there, that we felt that 2018, the 11th of the 11th, was a significant change and another shift that the Lord allowed. Even on the commemoration of World War I, but yet that shift took place on that date because of the beacons that were lit all over the UK, which reminded us all of the prophetic word of Jean Darnell, which was 51 years previous to 2018, where she declared seeing these lights all over the UK igniting, and it would be the sweeping in of the revival that would come. And so. So 2018, that whole significance, and even the government's calling of that date was battles over. And so the Lord has been speaking for us personally since 2015, that the line has been drawn and there's an ease coming. So I think what he's been doing is been preparing us and forewarning us, as God does sometimes, that there's shifts and change happening and that we are going to see significant things in our lifetime take place.
Yeah, man.
Now, none of us suspected what was coming at us in 2020. We thought this was the year of clearer vision, of hearing God better, but none of us expected the plague to hit us at this season. It wasn't like known, but yet back in September of last year, an American prophet called Chuck Pierce prophesied a plague coming to the whole of the world, and how it would disrupt and just knock off kilter the flows that would normally happen. And but he did, in his prophecy last September, when nobody knew this was coming, said that by Passover it would pass over. And so I think there's thank God for the prophets that hear clearly like that, because it gives hope, and that's the whole thing about prophecy, is encouragement and to look out for each other. So there's hope coming that God's world will not be overtaken by a virus when God is still on the throne. And prophets tell us that these things will finish by Passover. Now, ultimately, it'll take a while after that before we get back on the tracks and get running again as nations. But if it starts to dissipate by then God is still on the throne, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is still working behind the scenes for our good. So in this season where we feel this tangible difficulty in us having to be like this on an internet church, rather than being together as family and worshiping together and having an easier flow together, but yet in the midst of this, God is still on his throne. And these messages that get recorded will be going up on the internet later, and they will be able to be looked at from all over the world. So we want to produce a message that actually brings hope, gives life to those that watch, and hopefully that we will see people come to know Jesus in his reality and entirety because of the messages that churches now get to place up online. So what a shift and a change comes to the ability to do church, but to do it a little bit differently than how we have done it. And this whole thing about, even back in 2008, I was thinking this morning that when the Lord spoke to me and said, if you call, I will come. Now, you all answered a call this morning by answering or coming on this call. So there's almost that significance in the word of the Lord from 2008, that if you call, I will come. So I have great faith that in the midst of all these interruptions seemingly, that God's up to something bigger, and we're beginning as a church to release more around the world than what we have to date. So God is definitely saying, watch, look out, things have shifted and things are going to shift even more. Yeah. And so I wanted us to take a look this morning that if we read in 2 Kings 18 about King Ahab. Now King Ahab was probably known as one of the more wicked kings that Israel had in place during the season of the kings. And it's notated that Ahab was actually the seventh king in the lineage of all kings that were actually from Saul right through, that he was number seven. So seven is a significant number in the Bible terms, and seven speaks of the completion of the world, that God finished his creation in 7 days. There's a significant things that happen with the number seven all the way through Bible and scriptures. Seven is a powerful number in the kingdom of God. And yet this king was number seven. So to me that speaks that Ahab had laid before him every potential to have had a different life than what he walked out. Mm-hmm. That his pathway was not what God had planned for him, but he chose another route. And he married a foreign lady, Jezebel, who became the queen of the land as well. And she was known as quite a ruthless, unloving woman. But she had great strings to pull Ahab away from the ways of the Lord. And so out of that time frame, it's, the Bible says that he died at Ramoth-Gilead in the midst of a battle. He was shot. And so 22 years he reigned. 22 years is another significant number in the Bible. And we also quote a lot of times the 22:22 of Isaiah, that you will get the keys of the kingdom. Revelation is a book of 22 because it finishes with chapter 22. So there's many 22s through the Bible, but for the worldwide church, Isaiah 22:22 is a significant verse where the Lord says that he will give you the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom being them that actually unlock doors that have never been unlocked before, and to actually close doors that has never been closed before. So it speaks about the power that comes on the bride of Christ, the church, worldwide, where we get significant giftings from the Lord to actually operate like we have never operated before. Yeah, and I think in this next season, we're going to see greater. We're going to see more of an uprise of the church with its voice in the world to actually to be in the position of a voice, yeah, that will shut down some things that are being purported and other things that need to be put out there. That we either can shut them down and open them dependent on what the church feels worldwide that this is right and before the Lord. So there's a time of listening to the Lord. There's a time of being before the Lord and hearing his voice. So we don't put stuff out that is not of the Lord. But significant, we need to be in the place of ushering forth the message that we sense the Lord is speaking in the season that we live in. Because the season that we live in is going to change and adapt and shift, probably and evolve quite a lot. But in the midst of it, we're going to see God move. God's going to move like he has never moved before. No book has been written about this to date. But yet it's going to be significant for you, because as a child of God, a son or a daughter of the King of Kings, we are going to walk in royal walkways. We're going to see significant implications to the world, but we as a people will begin to rise in the power that we now have been has been birthed within us. And a part of us is to spend time with the Father in his presence, to hear him, to see him, to acknowledge the fact that you are a dynamite powerhouse, and inside you is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. That we carry it for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. There are saints in heaven, folks, that would love to be alive right now to be actually be able to speak right in to the scenario or walk through it. But we are blessed to be alive in this season and in this time and begin to see the outworkings of God as he brings us to the place where he gathers people to himself that he has allotted to come into the kingdom of God. For such a time as this, salvation will flow like a river and we will be part of the flow and be part of orchestrating and calling it in. Amen?
Amen.
So, going back to Ahab here, it says in that Ahab had five separate conflicts with God. And you can read about them in 1 Kings 17 to 18, and 1 Kings 20 and verse 22, 1 Kings 20 verses 34 to 43, and 1 Kings 21 verses 1 to 27, and 1 Kings chapter 22. These were significant times when the Lord challenged Ahab about his pathway, and yet he did not repent as a child of the Lord, but more as a royal leader of the nation. He was not willing to repent before God and pull back his reins and say sorry and begin to bring Israel back into alignment with where God was leading them as people. So God had to do measures and take measures. The word number five is usually considered to be a symbol of goodness and grace of God. The fifth book of the Bible, called Deuteronomy, is dedicated to God's grace. We have also mentioned that there are phrases in the Bible that are repeating five times, and they are talking about the grace of God. And you all know that famous one that revolves around Isaiah 55, verse 5, that triple grace that people speak about, 5-5-5. And we'll take a look at that in a few minutes. But God's on the move, folks. We need to understand that the fear that's been propagated by the media is a fear of the world. Mm-hmm. We do not live under the world's ways, because the Bible says we are seated in heavenly places, not just here living out on the earth. So we got to have a mind shift, that Romans 12, 1 and 2, where your mind is transformed to be more like Christ. We need to actually have that shift where we begin to realize, hey, we are called for such a time as this. This is our time. We're about to see things shift and change like no other church prior to us has ever seen. And it's going to ramp up. I think when the Lord begins this move, we are ending up running after what he is already doing around us. That there's going to be such a shift that nations will be crying out for the Lord. That people in their houses will be crying out, not knowing what to do. So in this time of isolation, it's important that these messages go out on the networks to make it available where people can begin to understand that God is still in control. He has not handed over his world to a virus to destroy it. In fact, the plans of God is to prosper us, to give us health, to give us life, and that there's power in the blood of Jesus. Just like it was in the Passover days when the plagues came upon the people of Egypt, when Israel was under their captivity, and the Bible very clearly shows us that the plagues that came across and came against the Egyptians did not interfere with the Israelis' life.
Amen.
They were able to put blood on the doorposts of their house to mark it, so when the angel of death that was coming to take the firstborn of all the children seen the blood that was marked on their doorposts. And the blood signifies the fact that the angel of death passed over.
Yeah.
Today, we are marked by the blood of Jesus. We are bought by the blood of Jesus. And the power of the blood has not diminished in any shape or form. Uh-huh. So his blood is our security, that we are safeguarded, that we are held in his wings, covered by him, held in his palm of his hand. And the Bible tells us that nothing will pluck us out of that place. So there's a security and a peace that comes upon us, and that we need to be ready for, because we're going to be called upon to give accounts of who we are, of our testimony to our neighbors and friends, to say, this is the Lord we serve. This is who we are. We are blood bought through Jesus. We are covered by the blood. And I know for a lot of people that creates a little, a bad visual, but it's actually a spiritual thing that comes upon us the minute you say yes to following Jesus Christ, the minute you say yes to allowing him to be your king, the minute you say yes to surrendering to him and keeping yourself in the right place. Because like Ahab didn't learn the lesson of walking in the ways of the Lord, he rebelled against it and caused himself problems, and eventually he died. And so there's a way which the Lord calls us to walk in, which is his ways. His ways are not our ways. And so we get to walk in a glorious realm that not too many get to walk in. We are privileged as people, as children of the Lord. And Isaiah 53, verse 3, we'll take a look at that in a little minute. But I'll go first of all to Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
What's that, Isaiah?
In chapter 11 and verse 9 in Isaiah. So there again, the Lord is saying that he has no plans to retreat. His kingdom says it will always advance. He is coming back for a pure and spotless, glorious bride, not a church that's hiding away in the backgrounds. We are called to be the light and to let our light shine. And Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. I believe this is the season of the light of the Lord shining upon his people so that others see it on us, even if we don't see it ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be people walk up to us in the street and ask us, where is your God?
Yeah.
What is your God up to? What is he doing? Why is he doing this? And we're going to get opportunities to share our faith with others, to tell them that this God is not a God who's out to punish them, but he is a God that wants his children in the right place. So judgment, they says, starts within the house of the Lord. And I think we haven't seen all of the shakings yet that the Lord is about to do. Because we quote the verse in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people will humble themselves
and pray.
And but we don't often read the verse before it, verse 13, which speaks about the scenario that we find ourselves in today of like plagues and stuff coming. And the Lord is bringing around this whole regeneration to draw us into the secret place, to pull us aside for this season, to be ready for when this lifts. I think there's an acceleration of the Lord coming to the nations where people will come looking him, seeking him. Because it says, if you will lift me up, I will draw all men onto me.
Yeah.
And our place as people in the body of Christ today is to shine like Jesus and to raise up and to glorify him so that people come and recognize that Jesus is the Lord of all, King of kings, and that he is the only way by which they can come to know the Father. And he is the only way in which you get salvation, which in terms then leads us into the eternity with him. There is no other way, the Bible says, that man can enter into eternity except to accept that Jesus died on the cross, rose again on the third day, and he is the Savior of all mankind. But our responsibility as people in the world is to accept that. And some people find that hard to do, but it's so easy. And all you need to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I'm sorry for my life, my lifestyles, and for what we class as sin that has gripped our hearts, weighed us down with burdens we were never meant to carry. And we say, today, Lord, I hand that over to you. Today, Lord, I surrender to you as the Lord Jesus, the Savior of me. And I say yes to you today in everything that you have for me, Lord. And that's as simple as it is. So Exodus 34, verse 14. This is a significant verse here. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. When the Lord and his presence is moving and with us, then the Lord promises that his presence, the glory of the Lord, brings healing. It brings restoration. The Spirit of the living God is in us, and through the blood of Jesus, there is healing in the blood. So we carry the presence of God, and because we carry it, we get the benefits of the presence. When the glory of the Lord is around about us, it changes us. And we may not notice all the time, but God brings change. He never stops bringing change. because he has got a desired intention to reach the end of what he has planned, and he will take us all there in safety and security. And it, then at the end of it says, and I will give you rest. So in the midst of this next season that's coming, I sense that the Lord is going to be bringing rest upon the church, because it will look difficult. It will sometimes sense that it's difficult, but there will be rest in the midst of it, because when you run after what God is already doing, it brings, as they would call, an ease in Zion. And the Lord comes on the back of that ease, and it is good, it is glorious, and it will be a pleasure to run after what the Lord is doing around us and in us and through us. What's that one, Sharon?
It's chapter 33:14.
Oh, chapter 33. I thought it was Chronicles there.
Oh, no, chapter.
Chapter 33 and verse 14.
Yeah, you want to read that? My presence will go with you and I'll give you rest.
Oh, it's not 34. No. Sorry, apologies. I have been corrected my scripture designation this morning. But, so God is moving. There are things that are going to shift, things that have shifted, and things that will shift even rapidly, more rapidly, in the next coming weeks. So, watch, listen, and pay attention to what the Lord is doing. Now, Elijah was the prophet that came at the time of Ahab, and he called a drought in the midst of all Ahab's going back against what the Lord had said. So in the midst of this drought, and it created sort of that famine type episode, that shutting away of people again in a scenario like us today, not sure, not knowing what's really going to happen, how long this will run for, and yet Elijah came and told Ahab, there will be no rain. And so he disappears then, and then the Lord comes, Elijah comes back at a point, and he agrees to meet with Ahab, who has been trying to track him down, had Obadiah, out his right-hand man, out looking for Elijah, and he knew that if he didn't find him, it could possibly be his death. Now, Obadiah was the man who hid prophets of the Lord away in caves during the time when the drought was happening, because the prophets of Baal and Asherah were ordered by Ahab and Jezebel to go out and kill all the prophets of God. So Obadiah, even though he was in the king's courtroom, managed to hide prophets of the Lord away in caves. And then it was he revealed that later to Elijah as he met him. But significantly was that Elijah called the prophets of Asherah and Baal, which were basically about 850 prophets, to meet him in the top of the mount, where he prepared the altar, and he let them loose to say, well, you call fire down on this altar. If your gods are alive and well, then this is going to happen. And we all know the story that it didn't happen. And then it was Elijah's turn, coming towards the end of the day, in the midst of this drought, where there had been no rain. He gets them to pour water over his sacrifice three times, and he had a trench around the altar to add to it. So he soaked it that much that the trench was full of water. So physically, this would take a miracle for this sacrifice to go on fire. And then he calls on God to come, and God comes and ignites the altar, and the fire burns. And with that, the nation has this chance to shift back and turn its focus back onto God. So at that point, I believe it was the season where a couple of things happened. One, to stop this from gaining strength any further than it had, Elijah kills all the prophets of Baal and Asherah so they don't raise their voices again in the land. The second thing I think that happened was that all the prophets that were hiding in the caves came out, and the voice of the Lord over the nation was released again. The word of the Lord gets released when giants and warriors come out of their caves after a time of hiding, and to release again the word of the Lord, what they've been sensing, what they've heard from that time in the secret place. And at the minute, the world has put this time of the secret place upon the children of the Lord. So when we hear the word of the Lord over these next couple of weeks, then we begin to operate in it, activate it, and look for ways to take it and deliver it to people that are around our neighborhoods, in our flats, wherever we live. There is a word of the Lord that's growing inside of you right now that you will have the opportunity to release and to bring before many. So the sacrifices were taken, and then as a result, Ahab was told to get himself in his chariot and to go down before the rains would actually stop him from travelling. But at that point, Elijah takes himself away. It says that he went down on his knees and put his head between his hands, and he started to cry out to the Lord for this rain that he had told them was coming now. And he sends his servant up to the top just to look out towards the sea. Is there a cloud coming? No, I see nothing. And seven times he goes back up, and the seventh time he reports, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, and it's coming off the waters. And the rain was coming, so Elijah had his prayers answered. God came and fulfilled and changed the nation that day because of one man.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. We're coming to close. We're coming into land, folks. So
10 minutes.
So we want to take the word of the Lord that shows us the privilege that we get as believers to ramp up the ability to speak out and speak forth about the Lord. We shouldn't be hiding away nor hidden for much longer in this season, because there are people out there that do not know this Jesus that we know, that have no hope, that are fighting in the aisles of our supermarkets over food.
Yeah.
When the Lord speaks to us, he has no intention of allowing us to die of starvation. He has no intention of allowing our voice to be silenced. He has no intention of the people that don't know him yet not being reached. This is his world, like I said at the start. It's his plan, his authority that's being released, and we are safe, folks. It says he will give us rest in the midst of a storm. His presence is all we need. His presence will secure us, keep us safe, and watch over us. Now, as we finish, I quoted there about 2 Chronicles chapter 7, but what I want to share with you is out of Isaiah 55, just as we close this down. I recommend you read the whole chapter of Isaiah 55. It is just so relevant to where we are today. But I want to draw your attention to verse 3. And in verse 3, the Bible says, incline your ear and come to me. In this season, incline your ear and come before the Father. Listen, that you may live. The word is life. It carries the authority of God behind it. It is life to everyone who listens. So as the Bible tells us, listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. I have made him a witness to all peoples. We will become a witness to all peoples, folks, because of the truth in this book. Because of the Jesus and the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We carry him. He is in us for everybody else. So take this time. Use it wisely, folks. Enjoy it. Bask in the presence of the Lord. Don't get too distracted and watching movies. But just get in with the presence of God. Seek his face. Hear his voice. Listen to him. And let's come out of this valiant warriors coming out of our caves in this next season to walk with the Lord and carry the power and authority that he has invested in us as his children. Mm. Amen.
I think it's interesting that Isaiah 55 in verse 2, the Lord says, listen, listen to me. And again, he says in verse 3, give ear and come to me. And again, listen that you may live. And you know, when God says something once, it's interesting. But when he says it, 1, 2, 3, 4 times, we need to actually listen. Mm. We need to take time, and we're in a season where God is giving us time to listen and to prepare and to be filled up again, to be fired up again for him, to be full of him again, so that when we come out of this place, the people that have walked in fear will have answers, and we're the first responders, guys. We are the 999 to the world. And we need to be ready to be that 999.
Yeah.
So maybe get who shall we pick to close. Who'd like to close in prayer? Put your thumb up.